2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Revelation chapter 21, looking at verses 1 through 8 with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, All Things New.
Why even fear death when this is held out for you? I know that's easy to say while you're going through it, but he wants you to have that kind of confidence. Stand firm, as Peter said, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is done.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Next chapter, you're going to have the tree of life described and you're getting access to it again. So all these themes are back. People from that moment in Genesis were pictured as wanderers in the earth, trying to find a way through all this, trying to figure this out. How many people are trying to figure this out? All of it culminated just before the promise made to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. All of it culminated, to tell you this struggle, in one major event in Genesis. And you remember what it was, boys and girls? The Tower of Babel. Remember what they said? This is misery. We need to come together. We're going to have a collected effort. And we're going to build a tower that takes us back to God. Enough of this. Enough of this. We will make our way back. We will deal with this misery. We're going to make a name for ourselves doing it. We're going to get to the tree of life ourselves. We will get there. And remember what God did. God judged them and God scattered them all over the face of the earth. That's the story of humanity. This is the story of our struggle because of sin. The heart of this passage is, and I believe what's central here, is that what God raises in the middle of it to remind us of what is driving this whole thing. He made a promise to Abraham, remember? I will be your God and you will be my people. And thus it shows up here. It shows up in this passage, doesn't it? In the heart of this passage. I will be your God and you will be my people. God said by way of promise, I'm going to solve your alienation. I'm going to solve the separation. I'm going to deal with it. Then the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated and chose Sodom, remember, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. New earth. New earth is what Abraham's hearing. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I give it to you. So Abraham moved his tent, and he came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which were at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Now, the marvel of all that is when you come to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews says that he didn't receive it in this life. Hebrews says that he looked for something that God would give him in the future. And that drove his present life. Abraham didn't receive the promises, but he saw them afar off. And he was pictured throughout this life as pitching tents, waiting for this. Well, here it is. This is it. Revelation 21 is it. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place, the tabernacle of God, he's going to tabernacle with them, is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Did you hear what was just solved? It's all remedied. The separation from Genesis is remedied. This is Jacob's ladder. Remember, Jacob goes out into the wilderness and he sleeps. And in a vision, he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set upon the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. The gap was bridged. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Here it is again. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families, this is you, of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Well, in Revelation chapter 21, this separation's over. It is Jesus who said he was going to prepare the place for us, and here it's presented. The separation from earth and heaven is now done. Both are brand new. In other words, contrary to Babel, God comes to us, and we dwell together as it was in the garden, beholding the beauty of the face of Jesus. I felt insufficient to preach this morning. I can hardly capture it. From this point, it's hard to characterize and pick up what this all is going to be like, because the scriptures tell you that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those who love him. But we know that from this point we enter into this glorious marriage feast of a newly resurrected earth and heavens having direct access to enjoy life, to enjoy life with Jesus. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever that I create that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. It's such a picture and description of complete peace, of complete harmony, of complete happiness, of absolute beauty, holiness adorning everything. Love and truth, the pillars of the city. Christ glorified in the midst. I know you can hardly fathom it, but you've been exposed your whole life to the lie of Babylon. That's why. You've been exposed your whole life to the lie of Babylon, a city and a prostitute who holds out a cup to you to try to seduce you away to everything that's impure and everything that's wrong. Don't you see it? So immense the struggle that we are in. Can't you see what it's meant and what it's trying to do to destroy you? No more. Dr. Godfrey, I think it was a couple years ago, gave a Thanksgiving message. And the message was on hope, and why this country was largely prosperous was because Americans in general were a happy people that were driven by optimism and hope. And I think that is absolutely true. That is absolutely correct. Everyone knows that to have a real motivation to live, you have to have purpose and you have to have hope. The Lord's given you all of it. He's just given you all of it. He's not done what a country can do, offer the possibility of happiness and success, and many people feel like they haven't achieved it here. The Lord, when he speaks, says it in an entirely different way, doesn't he? For this country that he gives you, because you all want a country. We all have this innate hope in us and drive for a country. That's why we struggle with what's happening here. But this is why the scripture is saying this is not your country. You have a hope for a country. And it's not that the Lord is saying, I can make it great. He's saying, it is for you, and it's done. Notice that. That's the second real emphasis here. As if the Lord says to you, don't doubt, don't fret in your current hardships. Listen to what I'm saying is yours. And he was seated on the throne said, listen to the way he says it now. Behold, this is verse 3. I am... Is that verse 3? No, this is verse 5. Behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it's done. What? It's done. It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's done. I want you to notice the way he said that to us. His purpose in the way that he wanted to record it was to say, I want you to have absolute certainty in this life. Any part of Christianity that says you can't have assurance is completely wrecking the Bible. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. I am making it all new. In fact, John, I want you to write this down, and I want you to give it to the peoples. Write it down. What I'm saying is absolutely trustworthy. This is God speaking. He swore by promise and oath. Absolutely trustworthy. There's nothing more certain than what I'm about to say. What is it? What do you hear? One of the most heartwarming promises in all of the Scripture. New heavens and the new earth, I'm doing, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Remember, God does not change. We celebrate that attribute, don't we? But he's also eternal. He's infinite. He's speaking here as if it's good as done. He can do that because he completely transcends time. And with him, as the theologians like to say, there is only an eternal present. It's done. It's done. In the next breath, he reminds them that as the creator of all these things, as the Alpha and the Omega, he expressed these purposes in the beginning, Genesis 3:15, and he's going to bring them all to completion and culmination of everything. He wants you living as if it's done. It's done. It's as good as if it already happened. What kind of certainty do you have of anything in this life like that? And the most important thing, he just gave it to you. I want to remind you of the perspective of the entire book. I remember back in chapter 7, I wanted to read this with my reading this morning. But just if you flip back to chapter 7, we'll just read it briefly here. Look at what is said at verse 9. Listen to the language that this is capturing Revelation 21. It was so eager to tell us this. The revelation of John was so eager to tell us this. It's been telling us this the whole way. Look at verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude, no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and all the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me. I love this part. Saying, who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. He said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. See it? I looked. Here they all are. One of the elders comes to John and he says, who is this? You know. Yeah, I'll tell you who it is. It's you, John. It's you. He saw you. He saw the future. He saw you standing there. I mean, that is just, that's the perspective of the book. In the most beautiful scene, John sees all of us glorified around the throne, serving day and night the Lord. And what must have dawned on John is every single one of the sealed are there. Not one was lost through the tribulation. Not one was missing. They're pictured day and night. Never again, verse 16, will they feel alone. How many widows and widowers today feel alone? How many? He who sits on the throne dwells with them, shepherds them. No more famine, no more pain. Sun doesn't scorch. Lamb's with them. He shepherds them, the fountains of living waters, forever. You will always have life and sustenance and fellowship and communion face to face with Christ. And every bit of the sorrows that you face and the memory of them here on earth, God will take his gracious hand and he will wipe away every tear and every pain that you've ever known. In the midst of this, back in 21, the Lord says, to the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. You know what he just said? I'm giving this all to you as a free gift. It's all a gift. No payment. This is my gift to you. You've given gifts to people all your life, haven't you? Let me summarize. All this is done. It's already as good as done. I am bringing you to a new heaven and a brand new earth. No more sin, no more sorrow. You're going to have brand new bodies. Never will you cry again. Never will your husbands and wives and children, never will you mourn over their sorrow. Never again will sin touch you or hurt you. I am, as your Father, wiping it all off your faces. And you will enjoy tabernacling because my Son tabernacled with you. You will tabernacle. He will tabernacle with you forever. Forever. Write it down, John. Write it down. So that the people in the Escondido URC in 2017, whom the Lord knew and loved, would get this. And I think as I prepare this, this has got to be the greatest encouragement to live this life now, because what he essentially closes with in this first section here, it's not really a closure, but the way we're closing it today, is that he gives a final warning that is meant to energize. Not to scare, but to energize and remember, this is yours. He says something that has been a major theme in Revelation, to him who overcomes. Look at it. To him who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He's already said it's a free gift. But what he's doing for you is motivating you. He's motivating you for the present. In your present struggle here on earth, in this short time that you have left, don't lose heart. What is your tendency? What is my tendency? I'm done with all this. He's encouraging you to the battle. He's encouraging you to go forward. He's encouraging you not to say that, but to get up in the mornings. He's encouraging you to this. How so? I think the best way to answer that, to see how to overcome, is seen in looking and contrasting those who don't overcome. Look at it there. But for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liar, they're going into the lake of fire, which is the second death. I don't think you can miss how that starts. What are unbelievers doing? Well, they're living in sin. They don't care. They practice this stuff with no care. They don't care. They live in it. Doesn't prick their consciences. They live in it unrepentantly, sexually immorality, idolatry, lying. That's their life. But the first two should stand out. They are cowardly and they are faithless. That's everything Revelation is calling you as a Christian to rise up against. Being a coward and being faithless in the midst of this crooked generation. It's a book calling us, don't be passive with your faith. Don't be a coward with your faith. Be bold in these days. It's a book calling you, don't retreat. Well, that meant a lot in the first century. There are all kinds of groups retreating. Don't retreat. Don't give up. Don't be a coward. Consider who you are in Jesus. Consider he's your warrior and you belong to his army. You're his chosen ones. He's equipped you. He's given you his spirit. He's encouraged you on every side. He's with you. God himself is with us. Don't be a coward in this life. What can man do to you? Like a runner who runs and falls on a track. He has a choice. He's embarrassed. He can run off and not finish the race. He can sulk and defeat, or he can get up and he can finish that race. The race has already been won for you in Jesus. So get up. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. Be strong in the Lord, and don't be faithless in this life. Don't be faithless. Trust him in all this hardship. Trust him. The just are always called to live by faith. Even though they don't see everything right now, the reward is coming. And I think it's so important to consider the motivation here because he's given us this kind of hope. What a great text. The Christian is a Christ follower. Tie your banner, you soldiers of the cross. God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. We're not wimps. We're not cowards through this life. But a great army of people who belong to this heavenly kingdom. Think like that. Remember that about you. For all those who refuse him and hate him and despise this message of gospel and grace, they're going to find themselves outside on that day. But the effect is to say, you're not. So get up. You have real purpose to live. You have real motivation as we close a year here soon. Believe. Trust him. He's given you everything you need. You lack nothing. So why fear? Why even fear death when this is held out for you? I know that's easy to say until you're going through it. But he wants you to have that kind of confidence. Stand firm, as Peter said, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us with these words this morning and helping us with this perspective of the glory that awaits us. It's hard to preach because it's so magnificent. It's hard to do justice to what you're telling us. But thank you for encouraging us with such certainty, assurance, and help in time of need that we would not lose heart but get up. Love as we're called to love. Respond as we're called to respond. To live by faith in the promises. To look for the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell. To complete our tasks here, realizing that you have left us here to be witnesses. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you for the free gift that you've given to us through the work of Jesus. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us again next time to hear more of God's Word from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.